Lee, I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is definitely a city where the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out. Amen. And I want you to know that we love the Lord. We believe in God. And I want you to know that the best thing you can do, one of the primary things that the Lord tells us to do as people of God, is to make sure we come together. We need to come together and worship Him. We need to come together and hear the Word. In fact, the Bible says, let's make sure that we do it even more so as we see days approaching. And we certainly have seen the day approaching where we know that the Lord will soon be coming back. And the Bible is good about this, that the Lord Himself says that when He sees even two or three gathering in His name, He will come in the midst of us. So we can be guaranteed that the Lord is with us today. So let's step into His presence. Let's worship Him. And let's just have God move in our lives. Amen. We need His presence to be on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Stand your feet with us this morning. victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. And I'm gonna see your victory, I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you,
God of miracles.
love. more times too, but I just feel there's somebody in here this morning that needs to sing this by faith this morning, that we trust in Jesus. He is our King of Kings. He is that firm foundation. His word of God is solid rock, and his word doesn't come back void. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
Fire, stirring something new.
Amen. Praise God. Let us live. Amen. I want you to know that it's a powerful thing to understand that in this thing called life, in this race called faith, that there are times where we are going to have to be resurrected. Amen. Where we are going to have to be refreshed and renewed and strengthened, and God is faithful to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just want to welcome you all here and thank you for being here this morning, and God bless you, and thank you for the live streamers that are out there. Now, Pastor Regina started off the day with us, but after the first service, she had an assignment that she had to leave to, and I got to catch up to with her, but she was here, and she loves you guys, and we are excited to be on the journey of faith with you. Amen. And I just want us to be blessed in all that we do. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Well, I tell you what, I know that these children have been excited about the fact that I think they were glad to, I don't know if they were even glad to spend a few weeks with us, but I do know that they've been excited about Children's Church being open. So we'll let those children get out of here and go enjoy their time in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. They're always ready to go. And Pastor Jared and them are always ready to teach them the gospel. And then I just want to take a few minutes here because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto us. Amen. And what that means is that in every aspect of your life, you need to seek God and put him first. And one of those areas that are very powerful place for us to release our faith is in the area of tithing and offering, because we know that God works on our behalf. And I tell you what, seek ye first the kingdom of God. One of the ways you can truly release your faith and prove that you're seeking God first is in the area of tithing and offering, because when you begin to trust God in those intimate, important areas of your life, you're going to see his impact on you. Amen. He will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. He will release goodness and favor on your life, and he will just prove himself to you. In fact, he says, prove me now. God is not afraid of you using your faith in these areas and him demonstrating the value of the faith you've released. Amen. So praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we use our faith and release our tithes and offerings, God, I thank you that without fail, we see your hand upon our life, Father. Not only are you rebuking the devourer, but you're opening up windows of heaven, Father, and you're bringing provision upon our life, God. And Lord, you are also, in the mighty name of Jesus, removing the impact of the enemy's ability to fight against us, Father. And you're blessing us and increasing us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And this is the sound of the troubles running away. This is a praise making the dead be
God. Hallelujah. Well, we've been preaching on the fact that each one of us needs to find out the fact of how we can most impact life. And the way we can most impact life is by discovering and being who God has declared us to be. And this morning, I'm going to take a minute because the Lord moved on my spirit and just had me have someone share a testimony this morning. So we're going to begin this message with a testimony. Amen. Praise God. Chad Smith. Hallelujah. Amen. I just want you to share what's in your heart this morning. Is that thing on? You got to wait till we make sure it's present and able to be heard. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. And Chuck.
Amen. Sounds like we're ready to go. Mr. Chad Smith, just share your heart this morning.
So it's hard to share your weaknesses, but God had me do this today. I thought about it last week, and last week I said, "Well, Lord, if they would ask for something, I would speak." But that happened today, so here I am. So for a season, a long season, things were tough for a little bit. Very blessed, but there were just underlying things that were a challenge. And as Christians, we know those things that we should keep in our lives, prayer, reading, fasting, and things of that nature to keep ourselves, I guess, girded to keep the enemy at bay. There were some things that were occurring, some smaller things initially that I would kind of just blow off the prayer. I don't need to pray about that. I'll just go handle it. Things like that occurred more and more frequently. Unbeknownst to me, those things began to get bigger and bigger. And by that point, it was a habit where I was just acting out and handling those things on my own. Not seeking God or anything like that. It got to the point where, one day a couple weeks ago, I kind of opened my eyes and I realized that I was losing the battle. And I became, in my mind, I became so far gone that there was no coming back. And it just got so overwhelming that, I was done. That was it. I just decided that I didn't care and I was walking away. So at 3 a.m. one morning, a couple weeks ago, I got up, just couldn't handle it, and I went to the gym and I told Amanda, "I'm done. I can't deal with it." So I went to the gym. I got some text messages ready. Some guys here in the church that I'm close with, to the pastor, and I basically said, you guys really touched my family and I, and things are. I'm just done. I won't be coming back. And it's been a good run. Don't ask, because I'm not going to tell you anything, and I'll see you around. God stayed my hand on that. I went to the gym 10 minutes after I had those texts all ready to send out, and I walked in, and I actually acknowledged Satan. I said, "You win. You win. You can have it." And I told God, I said, "I'm walking away. I'm done." It's not that I didn't believe in him. But I knew what I was giving up, and I walked over to a machine, and I was getting ready to do a set and just trying to pound it out, and all of a sudden, he didn't condemn me. He didn't tell me what I should have done. He didn't, I had no condemnation whatsoever, and I got to that machine, and all of a sudden, all I felt was this just overwhelming presence of love. I can't even describe it. It was incredible. When I got saved, I felt relief. But this time, it was just, I wish I could describe it. It's literally indescribable. I've never felt anything like it. It was tangible. He was there. He was surrounding me. If I could see it in my head, I would liken it to a cloud. It was just around me and just engulfed me. And it was just love, and that was it. And I said, "Wow, you love me that much, mm-hmm. that even though that I'm telling you I'm turning my back on you, you're going to still be here." That's incredible.
Amen.
So here I am.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And that's what I really want to talk to us about today is that God is no respecter of persons. And really what I want you to know is that over the last few weeks, we've been talking about what can we do and what must we do. And I want you to know that the most critical thing that you must do as a person is make sure that you keep your connection and your relationship with God as a focus at the forefront of your life. First of all, I want to remind you that the Bible says that the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. The Lord has come to give life and life more abundantly. And I want you to know something, that we need to keep God a focus, because the enemy, if he can, is looking for spaces to thread your life with hardships to turn you away from where you really need to be. And I want you to know something. The very fact that the Bible says here that the Lord is no respecter of persons. And I just want to read for a minute, because it says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Remember last week I told you one of our biggest challenges is that we need to learn how to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen? And I want you to know that no matter what you're doing, whether you're working your job, whether you're at home, whether you're out on vacation, hallelujah, or whether you're doing something else, there must be a mindset that is focused on the Lord on a continual basis, and we must want to serve the Lord in the trueness of our heart. It says, "with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." And what does that really mean? Pastor, to have no respect of persons, what does that mean? That means that male or female, rich or poor, black or white, or whatever you are, God has such a sincere love for you that he didn't short you of anything. I want you to know something. You can be confident in who you are, because the Lord, out of his love and respect for each one of us, because he loves us and he's no respecter of persons, it declares our equality. Amen? It declares that we are so valued by God that he looks at each one of us and he releases the same portion of love, the same portion of grace upon every one of us. Amen? And what it declares from us, from God, is just how much value he really sees in who you are. I want you to know that if you taking a breath does not matter to anybody else, it matters to God. I want you to know something, that your voice and who you are and what you do and what you become and how you live this life, I want you to know that God is on the forefront of wanting the absolute best for your life. Amen? I want you to know that God is with you and declares over you that you can do something. I also want you to know that your value is not in what you make at your job. Your value is not just in money and financial things. I want you to know that your value is in who you are as a person. Amen? I love God, because when he says he's no respecter of persons, what it means is that this word of God and the promises in it and the statutes and the requirements or the guidelines that God asks us to live by, they are fair for each and every one of us to produce the results of goodness in our life when we follow. Remember, the Bible says that in the Holy Ghost is righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. And I want you to know something, that the way God asks you to live is always from the inside out. Amen. I want you to know something. Faith is not an outward thing. Faith is an inward thing. Why? Because who we are in our inward man is the release of love, power, and the goodness of God. Amen. Ooh, praise the name of the Lord. I want to share with you this scripture, and it's very familiar to us, but I just want to read it to you because I want to just speak on it just for a minute, because the Bible says this in John 10:10. The thief, meaning Satan, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want you to know something. Jesus is our promise of having a fulfilled life. Not only is he our promise of having a fulfilled life, but the Bible says that when the Lord comes and when we receive him as Lord and Savior, it is the positioning power of God that can override your past, override anything of your history, override your bad experiences, and put you on a solid foundation for going forward. I want you to know something, that when we allow the Lord the space in our heart that he should have, we are allowing him to level the playing field for us. In fact, the Lord being in our life will give us an unfair advantage. And actually, he says, not only have I come to give you life, but I will give you life more abundantly. In other words, when we think about racism, when we think about hate, when we think about any of these things that we want to talk about, the only thing that will disqualify their impact in your life is the blood of Jesus. Amen. I want you to know something, that the Lord is the eradicator of these things. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes as humanity, we can do what we want to. We can try to write bills. We can try to write laws. But I'm telling you that some things cannot be changed unless the law of God is written on the heart of man. And we have to make sure that each one of us understands that the way we're going to be successful in life and the way we're going to find the full fulfillment of life is not just loving each other and loving other people, but it is making sure that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. Amen? And God's goodness will rain down upon our life. I want to remind you of some people in the Bible today, and I could go through many different people, but I'll just take a look at Moses. If we remember Moses, I want you to know that Moses ended up being one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. But if you remember Moses' beginning, he was afraid to even speak. He was afraid to have people hear his voice. Even when the Lord told him, Moses, I want you to go and I want you to speak, he was so fearful that the Lord had to give him someone else to speak for him for a season. Amen. And I want to remind you that Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Amen. So we have biblical context to tell us that God is not interested in the color of your skin. He's not interested in you just being male or female. He's interested in your faith and who you are within your heart. Amen. I want to remind you of a great queen. Her name was Esther, and we see her impact in the Bible. But I want you to know something. Esther was raised without her parents. We don't know why, but we do know that Esther's cousin raised her. And it doesn't speak of her mom and dad raising her or being around her, but it did not change the fact that the Bible declares that Esther was a woman called at that time. Woo! And it says, could it be that you are on the earth for a time and a purpose? And I want to tell each and every one of you that that declaration is being made from God about you and your life. Remember, there was a young man named Gideon, and Gideon had an angel come and call him a mighty man of valor and release unto him an assignment from God. And the first thing Gideon said is, oh, my father's house is poor, and I'm the least in my father's poorest house. So we see that God looks upon us, and he wasn't looking at Gideon's financial position or where his family position was at that time. God was looking at Gideon to see his heart and to let him know, Gideon, if you trust in me, that's all you need to do. I'm reminded of the fact that when Moses was struggling, he said, God, what will I tell these people? You want me to go and direct people. You want me to go and lead people. What will I tell these people? And the Lord told Moses, Moses, tell them that I am sent you. In other words, I'm telling you right now, if God be with us, who can be against us? And I want you to know something, that when you use your faith and you allow the love of God to be a part of your life, I want you to know something, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and we are never on our own in this journey called life. Amen? And I want you to know that Chad gave us a great testimony today, because he said that it started with little things where all of a sudden, instead of praying or believing we need God's help, we just start doing things on our own. And I want you to know something, that once we are bought with a price, we've got to remember that not only do we belong to the Lord, but we should look for the Lord's impact in every area of our life. Amen? Remember, the Bible says that he resists the proud, but he will give heed to the humble. And I want us to know that the biggest way we can humble ourselves is not only making sure that we're living by the word of God to the best of our ability, but that we keep our heart open to hear what God may say to us and let him direct us. Amen? I pray that the sensitivity of your spirit would allow God to adjust even how you treat your spouse. I pray that the Lord's voice can be there so that arguments never go too far to the left or too far to the right, or that negative hostility and hatred never enters into your relationships, but there is a peace about what you say and about what you do. And I pray that not just for your spouse, but when you're at work and when you're at home and when you're dealing with your neighbor, even when you're dealing with the stranger, I want you to not forget that the Bible says that when you're handling strangers, be careful, because you could be entertaining angels unaware. Whew. I pray that if the Lord ever sent an angel towards you, which could be a homeless man or anybody, but I pray that if the Lord ever sent an angel into your life to see what was in your faith, that that angel would go back and report, boy, Lord, they treated me well. The Bible says, be nice to a stranger, because you don't know if you're entertaining an angel unaware. Amen? Remember, there are times in the Bible where the Lord sent his angels into certain cities and into certain places so they could see how they would be treated by people. And I want you to know something, that you should not need to have an angel come to cause you to treat people right, because you should know that one of the biggest things you can do as an expression of God is make sure you love one another. Amen? That's what the Lord says. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. And then the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. I want to remind you that the Bible says that if we can't love man who we can see, how can we love God whom we can't see? In other words, we can see if the love of God is in your life just by how you treat others. If all your interaction is selfish and self-motivated and you only want people to be around you for your own benefit, we can see clearly that the love of God is not in you. But when you want good for other people, when you will pray for them and when you just desire good for them and when you'll be kind to others, it starts to be a reflection of the fact that the Lord has really taken over your heart. Amen? The Bible says that how do we know God? Because God is love. And if we are children of God, love is a paramount characteristic and the primary foundation of how we do everything. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We want to make sure that our spirit and our heart is always open to the goodness of the Lord. I want to read to you in 1 Peter. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you for a little bit here because it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know what this scripture is saying to you? You have to make sure that you have a mindset that is aware of God all the time. Be alert, people. Remember our testimony. Don't even take the little things and think you can do them on your own. Make sure that you are humble enough to say, "Lord, this day I need your help. Lord, this day I'm looking for you to be a part of my life. God, I trust you. I make room for you. Lord, I want to be aware of what you may be saying to me, and I want to make sure that I'm aware of what you may ask me to do at any given moment." It says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And I want you to understand something, that as a Christian, there is a requirement that we bring our mind and our thinking out of the Word's way of doing things. Amen? I want you to know something. There should not only be a gentleness and a kindness upon your life, but there should be a reverence of doing things God's way. Pastor, what does it mean to be holy because he is holy? It means that you adhere to the scripture. It means that if the Lord says it, then it becomes a priority for you. Amen? Remember, it says things like this. Instead of me reaching out and retaliating or destroying my enemies, when it comes to what I know now, God says I must pray for my enemies. So when you have people speaking against you and being mean and treating you wrongfully, one of the ways that you're going to show holiness is just by being kind and making sure that you pray, that you're in prayer. And the Bible says, don't return reviling with reviling. Amen? Hallelujah. Make sure that we keep the character and the nature of God in everything that we do. Because God is with us and he loves us. It says here, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And that word fear does not mean worldly fear where you are running around scared of things. What it means is that there should be a reverence and what you do in life and how you treat others, because you see other people as valuable just like God does. If you're no respecter of persons, you understand that you and I have the same value. You understand that male and female, same value. Black or white, Jew, Greek, any of those things, rich or poor, you have got to look at people and you have got to know that they have the same value. I want you to know that one time when I was first starting out in the faith, hallelujah, I loved to witness to people. Of course, you probably know that because I like to run my mouth, hallelujah. But anyhow, I would witness to people. But I found myself only witnessing to people who I could tell were really in need. If I saw a drunk guy fumbling around on the street, if I saw a poverty-stricken man that was begging for money, buddy, I would witness to those people. But one time I saw a man pulling up in a Mercedes, and he got out, and I could tell that he was well off. And the Lord said, I need you to witness to him. Well, I got to tell you something. I began to repent at that moment because I recognized something about myself. I thought that just because someone had something of value materially, and I didn't know I was prejudging, but I thought someone who had something materially, how could I make the mistake of thinking just because they have something material, they don't need Jesus? I tell you what, I went up and I started talking to that man. His eyes watered up and he said, thank you. Because I tell you right now, people need Jesus. And you can never look at what a person has or what a person doesn't have and believe for one instant that they have any less need or more need of the Lord than you do. Amen. I want you to know something. You could be a billionaire and be so empty that you need God more than the person who might even be making a poverty level income. Amen. Oh, come on. I want you to know something, that the what we need more than anything is God himself. And don't get me wrong. I want you to be blessed. The Bible says that the Lord would, that you would bless and prosper and your soul, that you would bless and be blessed and prosper even as your soul prospers. That's a declaration of the Word of God. But I also want you to know something, that the Bible says, I would rather be a person of meager means and have the power of God in my life than be someone who has run the world and loses their soul. Amen? Whew! I thank our God that he's not a respecter of persons. That what he has chosen to do is every person he's chosen to release to you the fullness of his love and the fullness of his kindness to help you where you're at. Amen? And this morning, I want you to be a person that makes sure that, number one, you know that God values you and loves you as much as he's ever valued or loved anyone on the face of this earth. Amen? There's no one born and no one that has lived and no one that will live that God loves more than he loves you. Woo! Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I kind of fool myself and believe that maybe he loves me a little bit more than anybody else. Hallelujah. I'm just teasing you. But I want you to know something. Have that heart that says that without fail, you know that you're loved as God as much as anybody else. And then make sure that when you are working with other people and that when you are praying for other people and that when you see other people, make sure that you have a heart of faith that reminds yourself that the fullness of this person's potential is in God and there's no limit to who they could be. Amen? And there's no limit to what they can do and what they can accomplish. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's make sure that today we're not a respecter of persons and that we're not someone who doesn't know that the fullness of God can be in our life at any moment because that's what God wants for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare your glory today, Father. We lift you up and we exalt you, Father. And Lord, we just declare your goodness. And God, I pray that your peace and your strength would be upon every person here, God. Father, that you want to help us daily in every achievement, every direction, and that God, you are with us without fail. Now, Lord, we exalt you. We declare your goodness. And God, I thank you that even now, Father God, right now, you're just releasing into us dimensions of your glory, your grace, dimensions of your presence, Father, to just strengthen us and make a difference in us. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, I have a little prayer request. Hallelujah. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, we're going to pray for Haley and Phil. Some of you don't know, but they are a couple here, and they had an accident yesterday, and it was very serious. So we're just going to pray. Father, I pray for Phil and Haley, God. Father, that you would just heal them and strengthen them, God. And Father, we thank you that they both survived this very serious accident, God, and that now they're on the healing journey that you're going to touch. And Father, right now, with Miss Haley being back in the hospital, God, I speak to these complications, God, to blurred vision, Father. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to heal this head injury, Father, and just restore her and feel to the fullness of health, Father. And Lord, we declare it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Thanks for being here. And I will be available to pray with anybody that needs prayer. And just let the goodness of God be in your life this week. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless.